just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every bird is getting lighter, every cloud is silver line. There the sun is always shining, there no tears will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds a sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that made my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord that we know God and that He is there. You can take your Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 1 is where we're going to be at. We're going to start in another place, but we're going to be at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Years ago, a long freight train sat motionless on a track outside a rail yard. The lead engine pushed the throttle, but the long line of heavy cars wouldn't budge. Eventually, the crew called for help. One by one, small helper engines were attached behind the cars, none of them large, none of them impressive. But together, pushing from behind, while the lead engine pulled from the front, the train began to move. What one engine could not move alone, many engines moved together. I want you to think this morning about the church and who we are. Individually, God never meant us to live the Christian life alone. God never meant you to go by yourself and to be a Christian and to do the things that He's called you to do. Now, that doesn't mean that a Christian cannot survive. Praise the Lord, we have Him, and so we can survive. But God, listen to this, folks, God always intended for us to have the support of a church. That's what God intended. God gave us the church not just to come and to hear preaching and teaching from God's word. Now, is that important when we come to church to hear God's word? What's the answer?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely, we ought to come to church to hear God's truth. We come to church to sing his praises. We come to church to give for the cause of missions and so that other people can hear the gospel. But folks, don't underestimate the opportunity that God has given the church so that Christians can come together and help each other out. This year, we're emphasizing the power, the access of prayer. The opportunity that we can come before the throne of grace, that we can come not only for ourselves, but on behalf of other people. Other people. It is my belief wholeheartedly that if we would understand and grasp and then do what God has intended through corporate and individual prayer on behalf of each other, that God would no doubt help us to move and to go to the place he wants us to go. This morning we're going to be talking about going before the throne of grace for others. Access to the throne of grace for others. Father, we absolutely need you, but we need each other. God, I pray that this morning as we look at the scriptures for a few moments, God, I pray that it would so move each one of us that we would make definite decisions to discipline ourselves, to be involved in prayer for each other. God, and I pray that you, the Holy Spirit, would work this morning, that would just really move each one of us, that we'd make definite decisions so that we'd be involved this way. God, and that in that, it would move this body that is here to be able to do more things, more fruit, for your honor and for your glory. So God, would you work on our hearts this morning? Give me the words that I ought to say, and Lord, take away the words I ought not to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I told you that we were going to be in Colossians 1. Keep your finger there, put a marker there, your bulletin of some sort, but let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just for a moment, I want to read this verse, which kind of reiterates what we just started with. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want you to notice verse 11. And I want you to look at the partnership that we have here. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at the partnership with our missionaries, but we need a partnership right here in God's house with God's body. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, great verse. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. The fact of the matter is, folks, is we need each other. We absolutely need each other, and especially in prayer for one another. We need to be involved in prayer for one another. Here's my question to you this morning, and I want you to answer it honestly. In your own heart, you don't need to answer to me, you don't need to answer to the person behind you or in front of you, but answer to God. Here's the question. How actively are you involved? Let's be honest, let's be serious. How active are you involved in your prayer for the people right here in this room? How involved are you? And I'm talking about specifically, I'm talking about individually. I want you to think through that and be honest in your assessment before the Lord. You don't have to answer to anyone else but to the Lord. But your involvement here, if their fruitfulness, if their spiritual life depended upon your prayer, how would they do? Think through that. That is a challenge, isn't it? That's convicting. How is your prayer life on behalf of others? All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 9 to 12. Here Paul is praying for this church. And I want you to notice the words that are used in how he's praying for this church that he had been very much involved with, how he prays, and what are the things that he prayed for. And honestly, folks, we need to be praying for everything that's going on, all the difficulties, the physical struggles, the financial struggles, the emotional things, the spiritual things that are going on. We ought to be praying for everything that's going on in people's lives, as we know, and that's we're going to have to be open about what's going on for people to be able to pray. And that's maybe for another time to talk about the openness. But I want to follow some of the things that Paul prayed for these people. And I want to give you some practical tools and how you can be effective at praying for the people that are right here. 75 people that are gathered here this morning. How can we be effective so that God would do some work in the hearts and lives of people? All right, let's go ahead and look at Colossians chapter 1. Let me read verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. Here we see Paul's prayer for these people. And he says in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," going back to previous verses of the blessing that they had been, "do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And lastly, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." I want to go through this prayer, and I should be taking a lot of time with each one of these things. But I'm going to give you a survey of these things in these verses to give you tools on how to pray for each other. Okay, so again, I want to encourage you to take notes, write in your Bibles, do whatever, so that you know here's a pattern that Paul has given to us on how we can pray for each other. And how we pray for each other is greatly going to affect the prosperity, the productivity, the fruitfulness that this church has for the honor and glory of God and the influence that it makes on our community. Okay, directly related. Again, one engine on its own is going to make so much fruit. But multiple engines pulling together are going to be able to carry the task. All right, so let's look. First of all, we see the prayer was unending and continual. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." You know, sometimes we pray for other people right here in our congregation in spurts. You might get a challenge, a message like this, and you all of a sudden on Monday morning, you'll get your prayer list out and you'll start it and you'll go through the directory and you'll start to pray for people, and it only lasts for a certain amount of time. Within a few days, you're not praying for them anymore. That's human nature. That's kind of where we're at. We have an idea, you know, we hear about certain people, we pray for people, but how many of us are very active and ongoing, and we've been praying for people? I mean, Paul says here, "since the day we heard of your report," I mean, they had come in contact with these people, and since that point in time, it says that we don't cease to pray. Now, we obviously know that it wasn't just 24/7, that Paul never stopped praying for these people, but what it means here is that there was never a time, there was never a lapse of timing that there was no, that they just kind of gave up and forgot, "oh, you know what, boy, it's been 2 months now and I haven't been praying for these people." But isn't that where we're at many times? We stop and we think, you know what, I don't really remember the last time that I prayed for Dan. I don't know the last time I prayed for Heidi, and I don't know the last time I prayed for Corey, and I look all around here and say, I don't know, when was the last time? And could you turn around and point to anybody and say, you know, the last time was yesterday. I actively pray for people, and maybe some of you do that. But I would submit to you that if we would be involved in prayer like this without ceasing, that God would do something here, because the prayer that Paul offers to these people is an amazing prayer. Praying that God would do his work, and we're going to see here that these things are God's will. You know, I don't know if it's God's will for Dan and his family to get a place to live where they can build a farm or whatever. I don't know what God has. But I do know that God has those things that we're going to look in the scripture for him and his family. That's why I love Colossians chapter 1, because I know that what I'm praying for sure is God's will. I know that God wants me to pray this way. God wants us to pray for each other unceasingly, without ceasing. That means that on a daily basis, as I remember people, and by the way, we ought not check out of this group when we leave the doors here. You know, don't we compartmentalize our lives? We have this group of people, and then on Monday we have this group of people and this group of people. And that's the way our lives are. But folks, this group of people is our body. We don't ever sever it. We don't ever get up without it. And we ought not go through life without thinking of the people that are right here. I urge you this morning that we need to have a continual and consistent prayer life on behalf of each other. And that's what Paul is telling us here that he has. And he wants this. And he's setting a pattern. He did not cease to pray for these people. So many times we're sporadic in our prayer. And we go for days, weeks, dare I say months, without praying for some people. There's no doubt in my mind that some of you here today, and I'm not punishing you or spanking you, so to speak, but there's no doubt in my mind that there are many of you here that you might not have ever prayed for people in this church. It's never a part of your normal life. But here's the good news. I didn't come here this morning to chasten you. The Word of God comes here to encourage us to do it. Hey, it's always a great day to start. It's always a good day to get going. You say, wow, we heard from the Scriptures this morning not to do this. I'm going to start that. That'd be great. That's all we're going for today. We're not going to put our heads down today and to walk out, you know, feeling defeated. We're supposed to leave here encouraged and say, okay, we're going to start this. Can you imagine if we all started this? We do not cease to pray. So do you pray for people in the congregation on a continual basis? Folks, I want to tell you, this takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of discipline to think through each person. It takes discipline. It takes time. It takes time to go through this group. Even if all you did was pray for each person by name, even if all you did was did Rick and Bettina and Ezekiel and Nehemiah, if that's what you did, it still takes a little bit of time to remember who's there and to go around. And I try to practice this all the time, but it takes time and it takes discipline. But I would say even more than that, just praying for a name, we need to be specific. God, would you be with? Lord, help them as they go through, pray. And specifically, we're going to learn about pray for these things today that we're looking at. But as we get started, it takes a discipline. It's much discipline. But it's a decision to continually think and pray for everyone. Honestly, right now, we could have an invitation. I'd say, today, we need to make a decision. A decision, a specific decision that you would be willing to pray for the people. And it doesn't mean that you have to pray for every person every single day. Maybe you divide it up in half. Maybe divide it in quarters. But is there a continual discipline of praying for your body? Again, right there is challenging enough. And I want to encourage you today before you leave, make a decision. Would you make it, even right now in your seat, would you make a decision? We don't need to wait for the invitation. We don't need to wait for a call. The call is here. Would you make a decision? I want to pray for the people at Faith Bible Church. You say, I don't know everybody's names. I don't know about them. You know what God does. But would you pray for the people of Faith Bible Church? That God would do his work. What work? Well, let's look and see some of the things that God gives to us in these verses. I want you to see second. So it was unending. It was continual. Second, he prayed and desired that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Did you see that? He says that we do not cease to pray for you in verse 9, and to desire. He prayed and desired that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will. He goes on to define that, his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So second, he prayed and desired that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Very simply put, he's praying for a specific person, and he's saying, God, would you fill them with your knowledge according to your will? Would you give them understanding inside of them so that they would know your will? How many of us want to know God's will? And you don't need to raise your hand. Do you want to know God's will? We go through life. I want to know God's will about this purchase. I want to know God's will about this person. I want to know God's will about this decision. I want to know God's will about the pathway in my life, right? We want to know God's will. Paul here is saying, God, I am praying for these people so that you would fill them with yourself, fill them with knowledge so that they would know God's will, so that they would know your will. God, I'm praying for this person here. I'm praying that they would know your will. Now, how can a person know God's will? Well, there's some very simple things in the scriptures. How do we know God's will? The Word of God, right? Bible reading. Do you know how we ought to pray? God, today I pray for Ken as he opens up his Bible. First of all, I pray that he does open up his Bible today. God, would you help him as he opens up his Bible, as he reads, that you would give him knowledge so that he would know your will. Wouldn't you like somebody to pray that for you? Question, is this God's will, that Ken would have God's wisdom so that he would know God's will? Does God want him to know his will? Is it ever a chance that God does not want us to know his will? That would be contrary to who he is. God wants us to know his will. Can I be then confident that when I pray that God will do his part? Yes, you're hesitating. Don't hesitate. This is praying in God's will. I can pray that. You see, the only way it won't happen is if no one's praying that. God's waiting. Listen, access. We're learning access. God has made himself absolutely accessible. God has told us, come and ask and you'll receive if it's according to my will. We just determined that would be according to God's will. What's the only way that it wouldn't happen? Well, Ken could say no to it, or we don't pray for it. The problem is we don't pray those specific things for each other. Right? When was the last time that you... I just asked you just a moment ago, when was the last time you prayed for the people around here? But let's take that further. When was the last time you prayed something like that? God, would you give that person wisdom today? God, I pray that they open up the Word of God. I pray that they would read the Word of God, that God, as they read that you would give them knowledge so that they know your will. I don't know what decisions he's going to make, and I don't need to know. But I can pray that God would help him to get that knowledge so that he would know God's will. Now that's going to take more discipline. You say, preacher, I got to pray that for everybody? I would encourage you to pray for things that God brings to your heart with those people. But these are the kind of things that we need to be praying for. And by the way, those people who were in church on Wednesday night, we learned some of these kind of things. Remember, we went through a passage of scripture and praying God's word. This is what I'm talking about. You read this passage and you say, okay, here, I see this is important. Not only, God, would you do this in my life, but would you do this for my brother or my sister? God, would you help them today to go to your word and that they would get knowledge so that they would know your will? How else do we, are we revealed God's will? We read God's word. What else do we do? We pray, right? We pray and we ask God. And then we're talking about that. We ask God to, God, would you help them as they pray and talk with you? Again, maybe it's God, would you help them to find time today to get with you and talk with you? Sometimes we just think that everybody in the room probably spends time with God and spends time talking with God. Folks, it's not true. I know it. I've been in the ministry long enough to know that we all need help to have our time with the Lord each day. God, my prayer is that whoever, and I can pick on different people, God, my prayer is that they would find time today to talk to you in prayer. And as they talk to you, that you would reveal your will, you would give them knowledge and they would see the truth so that they would know what you want them to do. Think about this. Now, again, it's probably not going to happen every day, but just let's say, I don't know, it looks like there's 70, 75 people here today. If you as one person knew that 74 people were praying this for you today, think about this. 74 people praying for you, and let's just say it was this. God, this person right here, and this is happening 74 times. God, this person here needs knowledge from your word, through prayer, the Holy Spirit's help, so that they could understand you and know what your will is for their life as they make decisions, as they do things. God, would you give that person knowledge so that they would have your wisdom to know your will? If 74 people were praying that for one person, what do you think? What do you think? Would it make an impact? This isn't hard stuff, folks. This is simple. But we don't do it. He uses phrase all wisdom here. And again, I don't have time to parse this whole verse out. But he says all wisdom. This is the practical know-how which comes from God. Practically knowing how to do things. You ever go to a little project at home and you don't know how to fix it? Do you need wisdom to fix it? How to solve a problem? Do you ever have a question? You're like, what should I do? I don't know what to do. Oh, I've got 74 other people praying for me. That gives me a lot of confidence. How do we move on together, folks? You know, we do come to church, we hear the word of God, and this is great, but I'll tell you, one of the most powerful tools of a church is prayer for each other. That's powerful. God can use it, and he does amazing things through it. He refers to spiritual understanding in this verse, and all wisdom, and that practical know-how which comes from God, and that spiritual understanding, which is that clear analysis and decision-making in applying this knowledge to various specific problems in life. What does James tell us in chapter 1 and verse 5? If any man lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But can you imagine if that was multiplied by 74 times? God wants us to have this. We simply need to ask. How many times do we need God's specific wisdom to know his will for the practical things in life? I don't know what you will go through tomorrow. I don't need to know, but I can pray that God would give his knowledge so that you would know his will to do what you need to do. And we all need to be on board with praying for this. We need to pray for each other. I want to encourage you very practically. Would you begin praying for somebody else in the congregation like this? Would you commit to doing that? You don't have to pray through all of these things every day for every person, but would you simply make a discipline in your life? I'm going to begin to pray these kind of things that Paul tells us in the book of Colossians. Let's move on. He prayed, look at verse 10, he prayed that they would walk worthy of the Lord, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. To walk worthy. We're talking about a worthy walk. A walk, hey, it could be what I'm doing right now. This is part of my walk. But in the scriptures, the walk is the life, right? It's my walk, my days as they go, my Mondays and my Tuesdays. And within my Mondays, it's my getting up, and it's my eating, and it's my attending to this, and it's fixing this, it's making the phone call for this, and it's going to this meeting, and it's going out to purchase this, and it's working on this. It's all the things that we do. It's our walk. And he's saying here that our walk would be worthy. He says, My prayer for you, Colossians, is that ye might walk worthy. We need to talk about so you might live. You might go through Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and all those things that you do, that it would be worthy of the Lord. What does it mean to be worthy? As I study this little phrase here, it means suitable, but very literally, of equal weight. A balance, right? A scale, an old-time scale where you would put on and you balance the two sides, and it's kind of hard because it's very touchy, and you get it to where it's balanced right there. The worthy walk, that the walk would be worthy of who? What does it say? Verse 10. Worthy of the Lord. Worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. In other words, a walk that would please the Lord. Does our walk balance out with what the Lord would be pleased with? That's what they're supposed to pray for each other. God, my prayer is that so-and-so today would walk worthy, that they would, that it would make sense, it would be very fitting with who you are and your name and God's word, that they would walk the same way. God, would you help them? Help them to live today that what they're doing is absolutely working with this book. Now, individually, is that our goal? Should we want to live according to this book? Yes. Do we always? No. Do we need to? Does it take a lot of work? But I'll tell you, we can't do it. But we can with this group. And I'll tell you, the answer is not us, it's God. See, when we're praying, what are we doing? I just want you to understand this. We're not talking about just doing a lot of work to please the Lord. Who, when we pray, what are we doing? We're asking God's help, right? Can any of us walk according to the Lord without God? We cannot do it. You can just chalk it up, folks. You cannot do it. It's impossible. It's not, as Dr. Jim says, it's not just difficult, it's impossible. It's impossible. You cannot walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You cannot please the Lord without God. So what do then? We ask God's help. Times 74. We need each other's, we need to go before each other and say, God, I pray that so-and-so would walk worthy, that their decisions that they make today would be pleasing to you, that they would do what you want them to do, that it would make sense, that it would make sense to their neighbors, make sense to their co-workers. God, I pray that they would be of the same weight as what the Word of God is telling us about our Lord. I don't know about you, but I need that prayer. I need that. I need you to pray for me. God, would you help Pastor Sean that he would walk worthy of the Lord? Because sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go astray. I need you to pray for that. But all of us are in the same boat. We need that kind of prayer. How many times have you ever prayed that for anybody in this room? If we could put a big picture or a play or a video up here and demonstrate of how we are operating today before this message, I wonder what it would look like. A bunch of little small engines strewn across the countryside on their own little tracks, trying, you know, the little engine that could, you know, trying to go by ourselves, and we're really trying our hardest, and there's smoke coming out like crazy. Honestly, folks, I think that's an amazing picture of the church today. I feel like there's a lot of churches, a lot of people that are out there on their own trying to just keep going on the track as hard, and there's smoke coming out, and they're just ready to give up, and they don't know how to do it. God never intended us to be doing that alone. God wants us to hook up and link up and pull together. And how we do that is through prayer. God, my brother here, my sister here, they need not only that wisdom of your will, but they need to walk worthy. God, I'm praying for my sister that today, that what comes out of her mouth would be consistent with the Word of God. God, I'm praying that what they think about is consistent with the Word of God. Guys, I want to tell you, we as men need to be praying that for each other, because in the world that we're living today, it is difficult to make it pure and clean in God's eyes. And some of you men are out there trying daily. You're trying to do what you do, and you're trying to keep a mind that is pure and clean before the Lord, and you're struggling with it. And I'm here to tell you that God never intended you to do it alone. Never. But yeah, we're trying. We don't want to tell anybody that we're struggling out here. I hope nobody looks over on this hill as I'm trying and trying. Folks, let's just take it as truth. We are all in need. We cannot do it. But God has intended to give us His help, and He does that through prayer, accessing His power to get through. My question to you is, are you praying for each other to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing? Now, if you know anything about the languages written here, this is one of the main things that Paul prays for. In fact, he uses four different participles after this to tell us how we should specifically pray that people would walk well-pleasing. And so let's look really quickly. We still have the Lord's table, okay? What are some things really quickly that we can be praying for? He says, by the way, that all-pleasing is to accommodate one's self to all the opinions, desires, and interests of Christ. Not other people, but Christ. Do your opinions, desires, and interests match up to the Lord's? What about other people? Are you praying for that? Here's some of the things that he tells us: that we would be fruitful in good works. Pray. When was the last time you prayed that somebody would be fruitful in doing good things? See what I'm talking about? This is foreign to some of our prayers. Oh, we pray for so-and-so's...